Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today by Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
How are you today, Janine?
I'm a little bit of a low energy vampire today.
I'm so sorry.
This week I've had a bit of a stomach flu, so I'm coming off of it. I'm feeling almost 100%, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm contending with that, but I'm brave. I'm brave.
You know what? You are brave. have you thought about maybe just chewing on some nails?
No, I have not.
And just being just the most insufferably worst person has ever lived?
I have not. I haven't thought of that, you know? But maybe it's a good idea.
I mean, if you really want to turn off everybody ever.
He's got a healthy pallor to his face.
Well, I hate him so much. So today we're talking about the Netflix animated series, Junji Ito Maniac.
Tales of the Macabre.
Yeah, Japanese Tales of the Macabre.
That's it.
I wonder if the subtitle Japanese Tales of the Macabre was
just
added
for the
American
English audience. Yeah, probably. It's got a bananas opening credit sequence.
Yeah.
I had to skip it almost every time because it's just so long. It goes on.
Yeah, it's long and it's painful. In the ways that he wants it to be.
I guess so.
So Junji Ito, I hope I'm saying that right.
Fair warning, are going to be butchering some of these names. I am going by the pronunciations I heard in the dub.
Yeah.
For the most part, I will do my best, but I'm making no promises here.
Yeah. So Junji Ito is a Japanese manga artist who does horror stuff. His most famous characters are Tomie, who there's a Tomie story in this.
Mm-hmm. And Soichi.
And Soichi, that piece of shit. And I think there's been multiple stories about the weird family.
The Hikizuri.
Yeah.
Hikizuri siblings.
Yes. And this kind of dropped, I mean, I wasn't aware of this. This dropped in January on Netflix. I mean, it kind of just came out of nowhere for me.
Well, do we know, I mean, do you have any kind of conception of like how big Junji Ito is in Japan? Like how big is his manga is?
I don't, but I know that there were people that were excited about the show.
Okay.
And I know that at least in that little fandom, a lot of people don't like it.
Yeah.
A lot of I loved it because it was such a breath of fresh air to me. I was just like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of his fans were saying it doesn't stack up to his work.
Yeah, I could see that because I went to look up his work. Yeah. And what's odd to me is like what I found out about the series is he's worked with this studio before.
Mm-hmm.
Once before they produced another set of his stories.
Yeah.
And so he likes their work enough to come back and do it with them again. But one of the big criticisms I've seen of this show is that his drawings are like very detailed, have tons of line work. They become really like grotesque because of all the details.
Yes.
And this animation is really kind of very sparse.
It's very cheap too. I mean, they'll do anything to not animate. They'll do anything to keep a character just standing still.
Yeah.
And do voiceovers.
So I think I think that's a fair criticism. You'd be like, what is this artwork?
Especially if you're like, I don't know why you would be, but you're a big Soichi fan.
Oh my God.
You'd be like, oh great. And then you'd be like, this isn't capturing the Soichi that I know and love.
Well, you know, the other thing is, I mean, not all, but some of these stories aren't really narratively very strong. And so I imagine they rely on the quality of the drawings. And so then you're not getting that either.
That's true. I also read a review that from a fan that said, like, the stories need more room to breathe and they blow through them very quickly.
Mm.
And even having not read his stuff, there are some episodes where clearly, like, there are these big narrative ellipses where you're like, okay, you could have showed me more there.
Right.
I mean, some episodes are one story.
Mm-hmm.
And some episodes are two stories.
Yeah. I find the one story ones I prefer because it's, you're actually getting a fuller picture of like what's happening here.
I think the two best episodes, and we'll get to the two best episodes, are both one story episodes. So this is a big show. There's 12 episodes and there's a lot to unpack. So we're going to do three episodes and we're going to do four episodes in each PCMC episode.
Right.
Otherwise, this would be a 19-hour podcast.
Because it is 12 of them, and there are a lot of stories to get
through.
There's
a lot in there.
But it's not 12 stories.
No, it's more than
that. It's, I think it's like 18 stories or something close. It's a lot, because some of them have two. Most of them, I would say, have two stories each.
Yeah, yeah. There's also a little post-credit scene on every episode that's just a weird, like...
like long distance shot of a figure, like it looks like they're in a bathrobe or something. Like,
oh no, not that! I'm talking about after that.
Oh,
that's the credit sequence. Okay. But after the credits, there's a you hear voiceover narration. If you put them all together, it creates a story.
I missed all of this.
Oh really?
Yes, because once it got to the credits, I was like, all right, now it's time for the next one. I don't want to see this creep crawl into a TV again.
After the credits of all 12 episodes, you hear, it's very Lovecraftian or Poe-ian. It's Poe-esque, I don't know. It's just a person narrating this story, and it's kind of just very poetic and just odd, and you kind of have to listen to them all together to get whatever the story is.
Do you have what it says, or?
No, I sent you a YouTube, someone put it together on YouTube.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to watch that.
It's very weird. I've listened to it like 4 times, and it's, I have an idea of what the story is, but it's basically an audiobook because what's on screen in those moments, and they're only like 4 seconds, 5 seconds each, is like just some weird drawing, and I don't know. It reminds me a little bit of the filmmaker Stan Brakhage. Is that his name? Mm-hmm. It's just very abstract. Part of criticism is translation, this work is so unique that some of it's difficult. It's hard sometimes to put into words exactly why what you're seeing in the show is effective.
Yeah. But I found myself confused by the narrative frequently throughout the show. And I wasn't sure if it was just because, you know, that was intentional, if it was meant to be obscure, which I think a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Or if it was like a narrative, like it was something that was typical of manga that I didn't understand potentially. But I'll go into it, like things I just frankly didn't understand.
I think that the show operates on a dream logic.
I think so too.
Where inside of it, everybody accepts a thing. Mm-hmm. So you don't pause at it. You go, okay, everyone accepts this weird thing. And just like a dream, it's not until later when you look back on it and go, wait, that didn't make sense.
Yeah, I felt that there was a heightened reality of this show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there were things that were just... I mean, everyone really calmly responds to the most horrifying thing they've ever seen in their life.
Like, and there's questions in everything. Like even... I've watched it 3 times. No, I watched it like... Some episodes I watched 3 times, some episodes I watched twice. Mm-hmm. Even if you get the story, there'll still be things in it that don't fit that logic that you'd be like, wait, why does the girl keep showing up in the tunnel? Like, that's never answered.
Never
like,
addressed.
Why does she just wake up in the tunnel?
Yeah. Because it says once you've gone to the tunnel, then you always want to go back, but they never cover the initial.
She doesn't remember getting
going
there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And there's tons of stuff like that.
I have a hot take right out the gate.
Fucking give it to me.
This was cozy watching for me.
That says so much about you.
It was...
You spooky, spooky bitch.
I found myself... And I also watched a lot of it while I was sick because Bill took the kids. So this week I had a fever and I'm not like a high fever, so I wasn't delirious because that would have been horrifying, I think. But
that's like how he wants you to watch it.
Yeah, no, he's like, oh, this is perfect.
My audience are people in the
convalescing at home. This is who I want. We've only played this show in nursing homes. So I watched like half of the series while I was sick this week and just like kind of like tucked in bed like with a fever watching it. I found it to be because it's very dim colors.
Sure.
When they're not screaming with terror, they're usually like soft spoken.
Sure.
There's moody music. A lot of it takes place in Well, a lot of it takes place in city atmospheres, but a lot of it takes place in nature as well.
Yeah.
And so I found it to be kind of cozy watching.
That's so interesting. I think we might need to do an episode on cozy watching.
Okay.
Because
it's usually not this.
No, it's usually not.
So I was surprised. But I was like, I found myself wanting to put it back on again and just kind of like chill
That's
vibes.
That's really interesting.
Even though there's like tons of gore at times.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know. I found it to be cozy.
It's funny because I think one of the things that it does best is its sound effects. And some of them are true, like, grinding teeth.
Yeah.
Or the sound of, like, the rock people in the Tombstone episode. Mm-hmm. Like, it literally makes your skin crawl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're there knitting.
I was just like, so nice. Have a cup of tea.
So every episode is written by Junji Ito and
I didn't realize that.
And or based on one of his tales.
Okay.
And every script though is by the same person, Karo Sawada.
Okay.
All right, this is as best as I can. I wrote down I tried to sort of transcribe the opening.
Okay.
As best as I can.
Okay.
It's a frantic kaleidoscopic frenzy. We hear nu metal.
Yeah, it's so funny because I think it's the juxtaposition, because I truly hated the opening end? Sequence. Like, yeah. I just hated the opening title credits. Like, I did not like them at all because I found them to be so, like discordant with what I would then watch.
Yeah.
Like, I found it to be kind of chill overall, despite the horror.
Yeah.
And the opening credits and the end credits have, like, rock, like, thrumming rock over them. And I'm just like, no, that's not right. It should be something else.
Well, I think the end credits are a little bit chiller, though. Because they love poppy stuff in Japan.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. It reminded me of... It reminded me of like the kind of stuff you'd see in the 90s, like Liquid Television.
Yeah, totally.
Well, the last shot is of an eye, which reminds me of Aeon Flux, which ends with an eye and the fly, and she catches the fly with her.
I could see that. I could see a correlation.
So the lyrics are screaming. People are screaming. Images flicker on and off quickly. Mm-hmm. We see a VHS-looking filter over things, which is also
in the end credit, too.
Which is, that's become almost like people... loving what they call an 80s aesthetic.
Yeah.
Something about what we call now the VHS aesthetic. Yeah.
We're moving through the decades. I mean, they're into Y2K now. The kids love the millennium. But they don't love millennials. They like the millennium.
Oh, yes. They hate millennials. When I was a kid, though, no one ever said VHS. People said videotape.
Videotape.
Or video.
Yeah, video.
But now kids will be like, oh, VHS.
Or a movie. You want to watch
a movie?
Just the tape, my tapes.
The one way you can watch a movie.
You want to see my tapes?
Yeah. I got mad tapes.
Oh my God. Harriet the Spy has an orange tape. I mean, iconic.
I mean.
The blueprint. As the kids say.
So it kind of goes from like screaming into like melodic singing.
Yeah.
Colorful image that reference things we see in the show, only not exactly.
Yeah.
Like it's not exactly things you see in the show, but reflections of it.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to describe it in three words, it would be kaleidoscope, video, and atrophy.
Interesting. Okay.
And then I guess we'll get to the end credits later.
Okay. Okay. I would say psychedelic... demonic.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't have a third one. But chaotic is very good. Yeah, I think that's apt.
It's funny. If you look at interviews of Junji Ito, he's like, hello, how are you? It's nice to see you.
I feel like every Japanese creator who's responsible for like the most insane shit you've ever seen in your life is just like wearing a nice sweater.
The most
and
pleasant
just, like,
man.
Just chill and very nice. And I'm like, what? I mean, I don't really want to make broad statements about Japanese people or the Japanese culture, but I feel like I'm going to end up saying a lot about it because I feel like a lot of the – and I know we're like stalling of getting into each episode, but I can say this about almost every episode. There's so much politeness happening that they get themselves into these situations where like horrible things are happening because they're like, oh yeah, of course I'll help you or I'll do something for you or, you know.
Well, like the more repressed, and I mean repressed in a sort of like overly infatuated with mannerism and politeness. So the more like repressed society, the more things seep through the cracks. I mean, look at like tentacle porn, and I'm not yucking anybody's yum. I'm not shaming anybody, but that was a Japanese creation, I believe.
Well, it also makes sense. They're an island nation. They're surrounded by the sea.
That's true.
They got squids coming up all over the place.
So I wrote down some themes.
Oh, okay.
Siblings.
Siblings. Missing parents.
Missing parents. Mm-hmm. Shitty children.
Okay.
some visuals. Eyes that don't have pupils. Eyes,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thin, starved people.
Mm.
Doppelgangers.
Oh, okay.
Alleyways.
Alleyways, yeah.
And severed heads.
I would also say secret rooms or like being behind walls or things like that. Not just with the Soichi stuff. Like a lot of the it actually made me really, because you know like houses and like architecture. I've seen and houses. Stuff is, you know houses?
Yeah.
Oh, good. This is going to be a lot easier for me to explain. All
right, we'll be right back.
Houses are like an interest of mine. And so I found myself very interested in like what was happening inside the homes. Like of like to access the attic in these houses, you know, you don't pull down on a set of stairs or like there's a staircase in your house. It's like a panel behind a wall that you kind of like pop into, almost like a crawl space to get into the attic, which I found really interesting. And I was just like, do all Japanese houses, can you access behind the walls in all the houses? I
know it's like a lot of panel screens. House, you know, which is, you see a lot in Japanese media. I wonder if that's like an older fashion kind of house. You do see it a lot in this.
Yeah. But you see different types of architecture too. You do. Like you see apartments, you see that very Western style house in the library episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, I was very interested by the like suburban houses versus like the city.
Yeah.
And then of course there's that episode that's all about the house.
Yes. So let's begin.
Okay, the strange Hikizuri siblings.
So I actually think this is not a great episode to start with.
Me neither.
They should not have started with this because it's not indicative of what the whole series is like. It's this is too much trying to be a comedy. And I think the rest isn't.
Yeah. There's a lot of tone shifts, but I would say this is probably the lightest in tone.
Maybe that's why they wanted to start with it.
Okay. they're like, don't worry. It's not so bad. I mean, the Soichi stuff is pretty light in tone, though, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So they really, kind of, I feel like they pepper them in.
Yeah.
So this is a family, a parentless family of mostly adult siblings who are very childlike, all of them. Yes. Even the eldest is.
Where he fakes going to work.
Yeah. Well, it opens with them all like sending him off to work, like lined up in front of the house.
Like they have to as a ritual.
Like the Von Trapp kids. And they're all saying like, thank you, brother. Thank you for going to work and taking care of us. Yeah. And so there's six of them.
Yeah.
And so there's the eldest brother. Kazuya. And then there's the eldest sister. But I don't consider them a pair. I consider the eldest brother to be like
brother.
Solo. And then I consider the eldest sister and then the next oldest brother to be kind of a pair. Because they're sort of like frickin' frack. They look like Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Right.
Even their faces. They kind of like have like frog faces.
They both look like the father.
Yes, who's very ugly.
And
then there's
he has horizontal striped shirts.
Yeah.
Which makes me think of Pugsley.
Yeah.
Which makes me think like this is sort of like.
Almost like an Addams Family.
Yeah. There's even like, this is the Munsters, but there's even like a Marilyn Munster because there's the one middle daughter, sister
who is normal.
Right. The blonde girl. She's just like, what is going on?
She's just like always rolling her eyes at them, being like, I'll be in my room.
Yeah.
There's two little kids. The youngest sister has pigtails and white eyes and is
she's
just,
a demonic little
she's
fuck.
Crazy. And then there's the poor little brother.
He's just depressed and has green hair.
He's so sad. Yeah, he just has like a green puddle on top of his head for some reason.
Yeah.
Which turns out it's just like a lot of spiritual activity, I guess.
Yeah.
So the oldest brother goes off to work And then he's monologuing to no one, laying on a park bench. It's like, I don't have to work because my family has a large inheritance, but I have to set a good example for the siblings.
Right.
And he's like, we live in a mansion, which I was very surprised to see, like, what a Japanese mansion looks like. It's like architecturally very different from what we would consider a mansion. It's like very boxy looking, because there's another episode they're like, you live in this mansion all by yourself, and it's like a very similar house.
That episode,
yeah,
that was talk weird. About nothing making sense.
No, nothing makes sense at all. But yeah, so yeah. It's like very boxy looking. Yeah. It's another like house with screen rooms
there,
or like panel rooms.
Yeah, but it has a cemetery behind it with their parents and other people, I guess they've killed in it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Was that so? The implication was that they get people there and kill them.
It's not clear. Again, there might be manga of this family doing other adventures,
right? We don't know about.
But the Pugsley brother, the fat brother Shigoro, he's like giving a tour because the older brother meets this young woman that he's interested in, who's a photographer, and she's into like ghost
photography. Yeah.
So he's like, oh, come back, we're doing a seance at my house.
Yeah.
And then Shigoro, the Pugsley brother's like, oh yeah, this is, he's like showing her the graves, and he's like, oh, this is our older sister's boyfriend. Oh, I'm just joking. And it also, this is one of the episodes that begins with a cold open that doesn't tie into what the rest of the episode is.
Okay.
Remember, the cold open of this, before it says the title, is the whole family standing on a burning body.
Yes, a burning body, which I think is the mother.
Oh.
But I didn't, again, I've completely forgot that was the cold open. Yes, but I noticed that she looks like the middle sister.
Well, the middle sister's the only one standing away from them.
Yeah.
As if she were somehow be, I don't know, that's interesting.
Almost like I thought that was the ghost.
Okay.
Of the person who was burning, like observing what was happening, like not knowing anything going into the story.
Uh-huh.
And then because the other siblings say they look like the father, yeah. I assume like the middle sister must look like the mother, and then the mother's body is burning there. But again, we don't know. We never know.
No.
We'll never know.
Right.
That's just something that we see.
It never ties into what we end up seeing in the narrative.
And something else is they're hanging out at this park, and he meets this photographer woman at this park, and you see a noose hanging from a tree.
I didn't see that.
And she says, oh, several children drowned in this pond, which is like kind of near their house. And so I was like, is it going to be revealed that like they're responsible for that? But then that's never picked up again. It's just something horrible. And then they go do something else that's horrible.
It's interesting because they're kind of like an Addams Family, but they're just creepy and kooky. Mm-hmm. Like, there are little indicators that maybe they're up to no good. Maybe they kill people. Maybe
they don't.
Maybe they're evil. Maybe the little girl with no pupils is, like, actually evil.
Yeah.
She bites her brother on the head.
She viciously attacks that poor little boy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of domestic violence happening. And also just, like, she's like a feral child because no one's caring for her. None of the siblings, even though they're adults, are caring for her at all. Like, they're always like, you deal with her.
They're all
you,
just children.
Yeah.
They're all just children.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's, even though she's feral, she seems the most upset at the loss of the parents, which makes me think it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
It's a more recent development that the parents are gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that was the mom's body burning, then I would say it's pretty recent. I was listening to your episodes with Nadia, and they are really fatphobic in Japan. Shigoro, they're like, he doesn't give a damn about anybody, but really all he seems to do is eat.
It seems it's an old-fashioned thing in a lot of art. It's an easy indexical sign towards someone being slothful and greedy.
Yeah. Greedy. Greedy and lazy. That's right.
You see him at the dinner table scene where he's just like eating so horribly. And then the older brother's screaming at him. He's like, can you eat more gracefully? You're disgusting. The older brother's a dick. He's mean to everybody, especially the brother Shigoro. Nobody takes any responsibility for anything.
Mm-hmm.
The like you said, the blonde girl's like, oh, she's just rolling her eyes at everything. The kids are just, one kid is just desperately depressed, and then the other child's just feral, as you said.
Yeah, attacking everybody. Hitoshi is the little boy. That's the one.
Yeah.
Hitoshi. So he invites this woman back to the house for a seance, and she brings her boyfriend. He's like
Buzzkill.
So furious about it. So they do the seance, and then it seems like Shigoro is possessed by the
father.
The father, and he like vomits up this big glob of ectoplasm. Yeah. And that the little girl like takes it and it's like, it's mom or yeah. whatever. She like yeah. runs away with yeah. this big pile of goo.
It's gross.
And then he says, you're lazy. You pretend to go to work, but you don't go to work. So now he knows. Oh God. Okay. So then it's revealed that Shigoro was faking it the whole time.
To become the head of the family.
To become the head of the family because he through this seance, he replaces his brother as the yeah. head of the family. But the boyfriend tests the ectoplasm and it's like, it's just like,
it's wheat flour.
Wheat flour, like some kind of paste.
Yeah.
So he knows that he doesn't go to work. Like,
yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
So then they must all know.
That I didn't put that together. Yeah. He does say, yeah.
So I found that, I thought that was odd.
That is interesting. That's real. That is interesting. I didn't put that together. Yeah. You believe it. I mean, I think the show wants you to believe it at yeah. first because he really seems to change his voice his whole and face.
And voice.
And then he's lording over everybody. He's like, oh, give me a back massage. Get me some tea. Rub my feet.
Yeah.
And then the older brother, Shigeru says, we're going to have another seance tonight. And he says, go. He orders the older brother to go and invite the photographer girl.
Oh,
again.
No, the girl, the older sister, because she shows up at the house and she says, my brother secretly followed you.
Well, no, that was the first time.
Was that the first time?
Yeah, the second time it's the older brother himself. Oh. Because that's when she's like, we tested your ectoplasm.
Yeah, we don't want to come. Oh, that's right.
You weird
that's
family
right.
could go fool someone else.
Both. So the first time that she gets invited, she's like, my brother secretly followed you.
Yeah.
And she's like, never mind. The girl comes to the house anyway. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to lock the door and now I'm going to call the police.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's sort of what I mean by the politeness. It's like, well, I don't want to turn down this invitation.
Right.
That would be rude.
Well, that's another theme, I think, which is people really interested in the paranormal.
Mm,
like people
yeah.
who like their hobby is studying it and they want a taste of that world, which often... It's now that I'm thinking about it, it's interesting that the first paranormal thing you see in this whole series is false.
That it's like a false possession. Yeah.
But then the older brother comes back to beat the shit out of Shigeru because the girl told him about the wheat flour.
Yeah.
And then the younger brother, the little depressed one with the green hair, he becomes really possessed.
Yeah. And it looks like Slimer. It's
yeah,
like gold.
It's just coming out of, yeah, it's like
it's
amber.
It's floating in the air. It's clear that this is not being faked. It's,
right.
It's
like
crazy.
Literally like this giant blob that's like chasing them outside.
Well, earlier when, after he gets attacked by his sister, the little brother runs out to the cemetery.
Yeah.
And like throws himself on his parents' tomb and is crying. And that's when the girl earlier is taking photographs of the cemetery.
Yeah.
And she photographs the little brother. There's like a ton of spirit. Like there's, you can yeah. see spirits behind him in the picture. So like he's really touched, or he has like a channel to the spiritual world. And doesn't the tomb get knocked over?
Yeah. After the seance, the older brother is mad. He thinks he's mad at his father for displacing him as the head of the family. And he's like, he calls him a shitbag. He's like, fuck you, shitbag. And he throws a giant stone at the grave and it topples
over.
Yeah,
it topples over.
And at the end, the ectoplasm of the father goes into the grave as if it's going back in.
Yeah. So he chases everybody through the house.
Yeah.
Hitoshi, he takes the most abuse, and I don't know. Let's see. Is the girl celebrating the little girl?
At the end?
Or is she scared of the dad? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
She wants the mom.
She wants the mom.
But we don't ever see the mom unless she's the person in the beginning. Because
Yeah.
Right. So, and then it just kind of ends, right?
A lot of them just kind of end.
Just kind of ends, yeah. I sometimes I'll look at my notes and be like, why didn't I write about the ending? And they're like, oh, because it didn't really have one. It just kind of stopped.
Ends.
It just stopped. Yeah. Yeah, that happens a lot. So it's just these little, they're almost like, instead of contained stories, they're almost just like we're getting a glimpse into a family's life.
Like, there seems like there is a bigger world there.
Yeah, it does seem like we're getting a peek into a bigger world, because I want to know what's going on with the middle sister. Like, why is she normal?
Right.
Why doesn't she leave? Like, right. What's going on here?
Yeah.
It's just this toxic household where they're all like parasitic to each other. And
yes.
Nobody seems to care about each other, though.
I wonder, and again, I really hope people don't listen to this episode and just hate us for being white idiots that don't know about anything outside of our own culture. But I do wonder if there's something going on in this episode that's satire of family dynamics in Japan that I'm not able to understand. Because, I mean, one of the ways you look at it is they're just privileged little kids. They're just, they have a nice house and they have money from their father. Mm-hmm. And they're all just children and they just suck and do what they want all day. Yeah. And I wonder if there's some comment there that I'm not totally understanding.
But they don't seem to be, like, living it up, you know? Like, no one's buying things. No one's, like, it's almost, not quite that they're living in squalor, but I feel like... it's like very Grey Gardens in there. Like they're they're in an echo chamber.
Well, nobody's cleaning that place.
Right. Yeah. Like who's doing anything? Like who's doing the cooking? Who's doing the cleaning? They're just hanging out. Like they're not doing anything for themselves. So it's just, it's an odd little episode.
Yeah.
And that's how we start. Yeah. That's how we get started. But it's not the first one I saw. The first one I saw was this one, the next episode, The Tunnel.
Okay. This is, I think, a pretty... This is what actually hooked me.
Okay.
The first episode I was kind of iffy on.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll keep watching. And this is what hooked me.
Okay.
This is a two, this is one that has two stories. Mm-hmm. The story of the mysterious tunnel and ice cream bus.
Ice cream bus.
It starts with the story of the mysterious tunnel. Uh-huh. And there's great imagery in this. There's snowy imagery in this, which you don't see in a lot of the other stories. It actually begins with a memory or dream of this little boy holding his mother's hand and mm-hmm. she's walking him into or towards the lip of a or mouth of a tunnel.
Yeah.
And he it's snow's coming down. He starts to like try to chase it and play with it. And the mother looks back at him before stepping into the tunnel.
Yeah.
But we don't really see the mother's face. It's mm-hmm. sort of like a perspective where we can't see what her face looks like. And then it cuts to present day and it's these teenage boys and one of them is like, yeah, let's go into the tunnel and mm-hmm. check it out. And then another friend's like, oh, but don't remember his mom got, like, died in the tunnel. Or his mom went missing from the tunnel. Yeah, went
missing. And I like the other kid's logic. He's like, that's all the more reason for him to investigate. Yeah. I was like, good point.
Good save of this plan. Get him in there. Yeah, it seems like in this where they live is this tunnel's there.
Yeah.
It's not used for anything anymore.
Right. Although there is that one scene of a train coming out of it.
Is that a...
That's dreamlike too, though.
Is that... I don't remember if that's a dream or a memory or what.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I do remember the train.
But at some point, there's a train coming out of it. But it doesn't seem like this is a train that anybody uses.
The scientists say they drive into the other end.
Yeah.
But we only really ever see the first end where our protagonists walk into.
Yeah. But we... Okay, so... Once we get to the, we can get to the other side though by car. Like it's not like it's a never ending tunnel. Like you can get through it. Sometimes you can't get through it though.
Right. And people get lost in there.
Yes, it's a very mysterious, unused tunnel.
Yeah. They go in there and there's scratches on the ceiling, which is unpleasant.
The teen boy in the lead starts flipping out. And he's like, is that blood? Did blood fall on me? And the other kids are like, why the hell would blood fall on me? What are you talking about?
It's just water.
But then he's getting really freaked out. Yeah. And they all kind of, not that they see anything really, but it's just giving them the heebie-jeebies.
Well, there's true darkness. One thing I like about every one of these episodes is, you know, you don't often see like true... complete darkness that you can't see through.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost uncomfortable for the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
But you see that a lot. It's total darkness.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they see something or sense something.
They're like, let's get out of here. And they drop the flashlight.
Yeah.
And the boy picks up the flashlight. And they're like, what is that? Yeah. And he sees legs.
Yeah.
And it's his sister. And then I wasn't sure if that was like, oh, it's like something pretending to be his sister to like catch him and bring him into the tunnel. But it is just his sister in the tunnel. And she's like, crying. I don't know why I'm here, which is even worse.
She's in the middle of it.
She's just right in the middle of the tunnel.
And she does not know how she got there.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
And she's really upset.
Yeah.
And they bring her home and she's sick. She has a fever.
So she stays home from school.
Yeah.
And her dad is there. Or is it missing mom? Because she went missing in the tunnel.
Right.
And
you see a funeral. They did give her a funeral.
Yeah.
You see flashbacks of her funeral. The dad seems totally checked out of life.
Yeah.
Probably after the mother went missing.
So the boy comes home from school and the dad's like, have you seen your sister? And he says, no, she should have been home. And now it's snowing. There's a snowstorm. He's like, she's not here. I have to go out and look for her. So the dad goes out with his flashlight and is like, you stay here. I'll be back. and it's been hours and he doesn't come back. So now the boy goes to look for the dad. He sees the he sees the footsteps going towards the tunnel. So he enters the tunnel again.
Yeah.
And then do we see anything before he finds the lab?
He gets a blood dripped on him.
Okay.
Whereas before it's water and the kid freaks out.
Yeah.
And thinks it's blood. He gets it. He gets blood dripped on his cheek and he doesn't even say anything. It's not until the scientist looks at him and goes, "What's that on your cheek?"
Yeah. So his dad's flashlight is by the mouth of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Or it's some point on the tunnel.
Yeah, yeah. His dad's missing.
His dad's gone.
Just gone.
And he comes upon a lab that's like in the middle
this
of the
tunnel.
This
is such a dream.
Yeah.
Why would there be a hidden room with scientists working in it? Yeah.
And then it's very brightly colored, like brightly lit inside.
And are they supposed to be American? Because the sign is written in English. And nothing else is written in English.
That's weird.
And the sign says, what does the sign say?
The cosmic radiation.
Cosmic Ray Observatory, Cosmic Ray Research Laboratory, Toto University.
Interesting. So they, there's scientists who are very nice. They're inside. They're, his sister's in there.
Right.
And they're like, do you know this young woman? And, you know, they talk to him. They explain what they're doing in there and something about cosmic radiation. They can study it from a tunnel because it's like under the ground.
Something,
but then
there's
like cosmic rays come into the tunnel, whatever. I found this to be like this, the anxiety around like nuclear or like just radiation in general. You know, you see that a lot in Japanese, just in Japanese pop culture. So I thought that might be.
Well, and that's also what like Godzilla is.
Right, right. And Akira, all that stuff. So I was like, oh, maybe the snow is like nuclear winter. I don't know. So
interesting.
One of the scientists says, I'll give you a ride to the other side of the tunnel because he's like, my dad has to be someplace. Right. He came into the tunnel. So she drives him to the other side. The snow there is freshly fallen. Yeah. There's no footsteps.
The dad's nowhere to be found.
Nowhere. And she says, sorry, we only ever come this way into the tunnel. And so then he takes his sister home, and this basically keeps happening. The dad is never found again.
Right. But the sister keeps showing back up in the tunnel. The sister
keeps going back to the lab.
Yeah, he gets the lead boy, Goro, he gets a call, and he wakes up, and it's the scientist woman, and she's like, yeah, your sister's here again.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it's sort of lighthearted the first couple of times, and he's learning more about the experiments they're doing. But then, so the second time he goes, the scientists are kind of sort of getting stressed out about what things are off. Their measurements aren't coming up right. And then they took a photograph in the tunnel.
Yeah.
There's like the scariest ghost you've ever seen.
Because it looks like lasers. They're like rays. Like,
yeah, laser. The cosmic rays.
Right. But they're like have faces. Yeah.
So, and like one of the scientists collapses. And they're like, this place is making us sick. We must be exposed to high levels of radiation here. Like, we have to shut this lab down. Like, please try to keep your sister away from this place. Like, we're not going to come back.
Yeah.
And then he gets another call and is like, you have to get here now.
She's like shit's real fucked up.
Something's happening. So, and your sister's here also.
Yeah.
So he comes back and it's, people are going bananas.
Yeah.
And she's, the scariest part I thought was like, all of us decided as a team, like, we're done working here. Yeah. We're not coming back here anymore. And then we all showed up here and we were all in the tunnel the next day.
Yeah.
It's like once you come in, it has a hold on you. It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
But the other teenage boys were never sucked back into the tunnel.
No.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
But in any event, people start disappearing into the floors and walls.
Right. I was just saying, you're burying the lead here.
Physically just going right through. Right. Like, it's like Hogwarts. Like, how you get into Diagon Alley. No, not Diagon Alley. Platform 9 3/4. You have to run right through the wall.
And there's like screaming.
The
people sinking into the hard ground.
Yeah.
Are as aware of how fucked up this is as you are. Like, what the fuck is happening?
It doesn't seem like a ghost physics.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like your physical body is going through it as if a ghost would. It seems like your physical body is going through the wall the way your physical body would encounter a wall.
Because when you go all the way through, then you see blood.
Yeah, there's just blood, come to the surface. Like there's, it hurts you. And they are screaming in pain.
Well, one of the scientists, his head is in. You just see his
just
legs.
His head, like an ostrich. Yeah.
Right.
The sister gets pulled in.
But the sister, first she goes through the female scientist. And then into the wall behind her. So the fuck is that?
I don't know.
It's all very cosmic horror. It's all very like Lovecraftian, and the idea of like outer space and science and things we don't understand are somehow really fucking dark and terrible.
Yeah.
And we probably ought not think about it or look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Investigating is bad.
Oh, man. So he and the female scientist run out of the – or start to run right. out of the tunnel. And she gets caught – like nothing is going to catch you. Like the ghosts, the cosmic ray right. ghosts are not like grabbing. Right. It's just the floor itself is like
– you start sinking into it in. Like it's yeah. quicksand, but it's not. It's hard ground.
Yeah. And so she gets pulled in and – he's about to get going. He's so close to the end. And then he turns around and then they're hanging all the people, like his, the other scientists. And was his dad in there? But his sister
No, I think it's the three. Yeah, they're like, they're almost like floating marionette kind of bloody ghosts.
Yeah. But I feel like they're hanging, as if they were hanging by their feet from the ceiling, like hanging
yeah,
down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're approaching him.
Yeah.
They're coming toward him.
And they're
him.
Like, don't leave or like yeah. stay with us. It's
bloody ghost is always weird to me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why are you bleeding? It's all fucked up. But then he gets to a point in the tunnel where he sees the crazy rays everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happens. He like runs out of breath. He falls and his hand's on the ground.
Yeah.
And then he gets to get sucked in.
Yeah.
And then again, it just ends. The last image is just outside the tunnel and it's just a simple like still image of like, yeah, they're all fucking gone now.
They're gone. Now they're all cosmic rays.
So this is
not cosmic rays, the interplanetary dining spot in Disney where you can get yourself a nice onion ring.
Yeah.
just one.
Yeah, and he has backup singers that are invisible.
Yeah, cosmic rays.
This is a great example of the kind of thing where it's like, it's got dream logic. Like, why does it have this weird structure of going home, coming back, going home, coming back, going home, coming back? Why is it snowing all the time?
And the way the images come up, like, it will, like, flash onto the screen.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. And there's unanswered questions. Like, okay, so you could say, okay, fine. What happens when you go in there is you get sucked into it. Maybe that's what happened to his mother and his father.
Yeah.
But why?
Why did it take so long? Longer to get sucked in?
And why does the sister keep being pulled back to it? Why did the sister go through the scientist? Like, if the rules are you're going into the ground somehow, into the tunnel, why would the sister be able to, like, completely just travel through the body of another person?
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
And the only rules are there are no rules.
Yeah. So the next story is Ice Cream Bus. This is a fucked up one. This is another shitty kid.
This actually reminded me of the Goosebumps Camp Jelly Jam. But I do feel like this could have been a Goosebumps story.
It's very Goosebumpsy, actually. Just without the ending. Because no one has to,
your head wouldn't fall off.
Right.
You might turn into ice cream, but your head wouldn't fall off as like horrifically as it does.
Right.
The ice cream man is a fashion boy. He has white hair and golden eyes. And
he's creepy though.
White eyelashes. Is he an albino? I don't know.
I don't know.
But the red.
He's got pedophile vibes. I'm just going to say it.
He does, but he's just so beautiful.
Okay. It could be the ice cream truck where he takes children into. Yeah. That's maybe where I'm getting it.
He gives them a ride around town.
Yeah. He gives them a tour.
A tour of the town they live in.
And he doesn't allow parents in and they're cool with it.
He's like, sorry. Only children.
I was
like,
okay, I take my children. That's fine.
Did you notice that the red pointed sides of the hat look like devil horns?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so when he turns a certain way, there's like two red points on his hat, and they look like devil horns.
That's interesting.
I thought it was interesting.
The headlights of the truck itself
are scary eyes.
They're eyes. And they also, it plays a jaunty little song that's like, ice cream truck. Bah, bah, bah,
bah. Oh, I know. So it's like a divorce situation. The dad is single at this apartment dad with his building. Kids. my kids complaining, like, I want to be with mom. And this ice cream man pulls up and all the kids are like, yeah, like losing their minds.
Yeah.
And so they all get their ice cream. And then the moms are like, okay, don't be back too late. And then I was like, what is that? He's like, the ice cream man spends time with them. I didn't like that phrasing.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
And the dad wisely is like, no, you're not going on this ice cream truck. Sorry. But it's like that Milhouse thing of he's so disappointing as a father that he just wants to do like one thing that'll make his kid
it's
happy.
It's so funny thinking about his Milhouse, his dad.
It's Kurt. So he lets the next time the ice cream man comes, every Saturday the ice cream man comes, he lets him go. And the kid comes back and he's like so happy. He's on cloud nine. Yeah. And he's like, I'm not hungry for dinner. He's like, there was a big pile of ice cream in the back of the truck and we all had a licking contest. I'm like, I don't like any of those words that you said.
A pile of ice cream.
Licking contest. Yeah. No. So
there's a really funny moment though where the father just realizes he's not doing well as a parent because he's cooking dinner and the kid leaves and he goes, a pile of ice cream. I gotta be more careful. like I'm not a parent, but it seems like it's a moment of, ooh, I fucked up this one.
Yeah, but then that moment, so he thinks it's like, oh, this was a mistake to let the kid go.
Yeah.
And then immediately thinks, oh, wait, it was actually a great thing to let him go because the next day he comes home from
and
work.
His friends.
And he's got all these friends in the back room and there's like a pile of shoes and the kids are hanging out and they're like playing video games, doing whatever they're doing. And he's like, oh, this allowed him to make friends here. Like this was good.
Because they're new in town.
Yeah. So this was a good thing. And I felt that. I was like, oh, yeah, like I gotta win. Like my kid has all these friends now.
They're living in the Sad Man Arms. What is it? What's the place that
Bachelor's Arms?
Yeah, that's where they're living. Yeah, so
like all the moms are like single moms.
He's happy that his kid has friends, and is being less of an annoying asshole.
But then, so now, then the following Saturday, the ice cream man comes, and the kid's like, "Yeah, here we go," and the dad's like, "I want to come on this bus to see what the hell's going on."
Yeah.
And
he's like, no, you cannot.
Sorry, can't do it. And the dad's like, of course I understand. It's like, no, you don't.
I take my kid back, please, right away. Yeah.
And then he peeks in the truck and he sees and it's just like a big gloopy pile of gross.
And he's terrified by it.
He is. He shudders.
Which is interesting because it's not inherently
scary.
Scary, but it is wrong.
Yeah.
Ice cream does not belong in that huge quantity.
The floor
it shouldn't be on the floor, and you shouldn't be communally licking it.
Yeah. It's just unsavory. It's the whole thing looks crazy.
This show is very, very good at creating uncanny imagery. You know, and I'm always obsessed with that. I'm always impressed by that because I feel like in a world full of media, to be able to come up with some kind of fresh imagery, I think is very hard.
Mm.
And this show is full of fresh imagery.
Yeah, really, it is.
It's wrong. Like if you came home and your kids were licking a giant ice cream, you'd be like, what the fuck is going
on
here?
What is happening in this house?
What? Something has gone wrong.
No, this isn't right. So he's shaken to the core by this image, but he doesn't take his kid out.
No.
He lets him be.
Yeah.
And then, what is it? Is it the next day?
Yeah.
He's coming home from work?
Yeah. It's very short. Sometimes the second one is shorter.
It's shorter, yeah. So this one is also, this like is where dream logic comes in again.
Yeah.
It is all very dreamy. And maybe that's why it also like read as cozy watching for me. Because it did feel dreamy.
It's actually better than, I think, even though we're analyzing it, I think it's almost better as a viewer to just go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because otherwise you're just like, what is any of this?
Yeah.
And there's like a bright neon pile of goo.
He sees the shoes first and he's like, oh, their kids are here.
Well, as he's going up to his apartment, he sees little piles of goo.
Right. There's one like in the garbage outside.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
Did they throw like a kid away? Like what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
So he goes in and whereas the last time he came home and all the kids' shoes were there and it was like a bunch of noise, all the kids talking and playing and stuff, it's quiet. And he even says that. He's like, are you guys here? It's pretty quiet if you are. And like any parent knows, if the kids are quiet, it means trouble. Because
they've turned into ice cream.
Either they're doing something they shouldn't be or they've turned into a pile of ice cream.
Right.
So he's like, I guess my friends turned into ice cream. Or like says some weird
and they're
shit.
All a different flavor.
They're all, and he's licking just like
and you see like ice cream but like goo. Shoes next to it and like school bags like it's
and
fucked
the dad's
up.
Instinct is good because he's like get away from that like don't lick that and he goes to grab his son to pull him off and his head just flies off just pops right off his body
but before he does that the son's face is like melting
starts to melt also
and inside of his when his head comes off you see green inside so I guess he's turning into like green ice cream but there's another thing earlier on where he picks up an ice cream box and that's melting too. So it's like everything is melting.
Everything's melting.
It's pretty fucked up. And it's one of these things of what does the dad do? Who cares? The story's over now.
Yeah.
The horrible thing has happened. Why waste energy? And I don't mean this sarcastically. Like what's the gain to try to figure out the reality of how this father goes on with his life now?
Right.
It's almost like some of these narratives are almost take the form of like a joke.
Huh.
The way you tell a story in a joke, like yeah. this happens, then that happened, then that happened.
Right. The punchline is.
Yeah. The punchline is the kids turn into ice cream.
Yeah.
Bye, folks.
Yeah, well, you do get that one last shot of the ice cream truck driving around town.
Yeah.
Blasting music.
Yeah, and the eye turns toward you.
Yeah, on to the next.
Yeah.
What's he getting out of this? Because he's not eating the kids. He's making the kids into ice cream. And then he's, well, I think so. And then he's making the other kids eat the ice cream.
I don't know. I do not know.
Okay, this is the best episode, I think.
It's absolutely, well, that's so...
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's see if I
think it is by a hair, because I think there are.
Do you mean like by a long hair in the attic?
No.
No, I don't either.
Because I think.
Oh, hold on.
I think Tombtown is very close.
Tombtown is good, but.
And of the short stories, I think Layers of Terror is
incredible.
Well, I know
you like that one. Yeah. Let's see. I think any other ones. Oh, I do like The Whispering Woman.
Yeah, that's good too. And some of them feel like they are harkening back to tales and folklore that you've seen or heard before.
Yeah, but some are just, I mean, I felt, and I don't know if this is any kind of folklore, but I just felt like this was wholly original. Like, I've never seen anything like this, and I was blown away by it.
You mean the whole series?
No, episode 3. Hanging Balloons.
Yes.
This is incredible.
It really is incredible. Yeah, it's...
And another one where it's very dreamy.
Oh, yeah.
What is any of this? So Bill didn't watch any of this with me.
Yeah.
Just you
and the kids.
Just me and the kids, you know. So that's, you know, they've been up for days, but...
Yeah.
So, this was actually very difficult for me to watch. It's almost like a good thing I got sick, because then Bill took the kids to his mom's house just for the afternoon so I could just like kind of rest in the house. And I just watched so much of it. Otherwise, I had to when the kids were at school, drop them off. I have 2 hours for Peter to be in school because he's a little baby and he's in 2-year-old school. Mm-hmm. So it's only 2 hours long. So I drop him off, run home, watch a couple of episodes, turn it off, make sure I'm back on the kid's profile so that when we go to Netflix, it doesn't actually pop up with the, what do they call it? Not the widget. What is it? The thumbnail for this show is the horrifying carpenter.
Yeah.
And I was like, I never want them to see that ever.
Everything about this is upsetting.
So I would always make sure I'm like, okay, Gabby's Dollhouse, this is what we're putting on. Great. And that's how I'd have to leave it. It was like I was trying to get away with something by watching this show.
It feels nasty, clandestine.
I had to really hide this show.
Yeah. People are like, what are you doing? Like, what? Nothing. Nothing.
Right. It was one of those things where it's like, when I would go to pick up, I'd have some downtime in the car prior to picking up Henry, and I'd be like, I could watch an episode or two, but I didn't want to angle it towards the driver's window just in case parent I knew would be walking by and be like, what the fuck is she watching?
Yeah. We had a meeting and we don't want her involved in the PTA anymore.
We don't want her at this school anymore. So, okay, Hanging Balloons. I described this episode to Bill and he's like, I really want to watch it. It sounds so crazy. So maybe we'll watch it together. But so it opens on this woman hanging from a... Oh, no, it doesn't. It opens with the... what's her face?
It's in
the future.
And it's the main girl in her bedroom and you hear a knock on the door and she's like, come on out. Come on.
You had to have run out of food by now.
Are you hungry in there?
Yeah.
And then it cuts back to days earlier.
Yeah.
And we should say this is very triggering. The image of a person being hung... Or hanged.
Hanged, yeah.
Some of us are both. the image of a person being hanged is triggering. I mean, it's very triggering.
It is,
And although they do something new with that image.
Yeah.
In very weird, crazy ways in this episode.
Very crazy. Because it's basically all that image. So
if that's something you don't like to see.
No, you don't want to watch this episode
at all. This is not for you at all.
But it is, I think, the most... original. It's something. It's quite a sight. So you hear this voice saying, come on out of that room. I'm sure you ran out of food.
Yeah.
And she's like, no way. I'm not falling for that. And the curtains are drawn and she's just like in this bedroom. Mm-hmm. And this is like several weeks earlier or several months early. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And then it's a young, like a teen girl hanging by her neck from a rope from the side of a building. Yeah. And then it's like news coverage.
Because she was a pop idol. So right. She was famous singer. And she's hanging.
Oh, and she is on the variety program that the dad and his son are watching in the ice cream
episode. Oh, yes, yes.
Sometimes you'll get like little connecting things like Hell of Thorns. That book comes up a lot
throughout
the show. So she was on variety shows.
Yeah.
And
she's hanging off of like.
It looks like mucus is coming out of her eyes and like going down her body. Yeah, she doesn't look good. Which is weird. They really give a lot of details on the news about her death.
Yeah.
And her manner of death and like. Just gruesome details they did not need to share.
It's an image you haven't seen before because it's a building, but the person is hanging on the side of it.
Yeah,
she's like hanging
almost
on,
like on a
like an electric wire. Or
something. Yeah, like a wire hanging out of the building or something.
Right.
So it's weird,
and it's very public death, and it's very. And the protagonist is one of her friends.
Right, because she was a pop idol, but she also went to school.
Regular school.
Like she was still going to regular
boyfriend
school.
In the school. Yeah.
And so they're all in mourning. Her friend speaks at her memorial service and they're all just, you know, trying to figure out like what happened. They're like, was she okay? Was she upset? Like, I didn't know she was upset. You know, doing the thing that people do, you know, when people die by suicide, they're like talking it out and I had no idea. Like I guess the pressure was too much for her. And
meanwhile, outside of her funeral, her mostly male fan
rabid
base.
Rabid male fans.
Going crazy.
Like rioting basically in the street, crying. And then the news reports like, it's been several days since the death of this. Several of her fans have taken their own lives in. Like, so there's like a, sort of like with the Kurt Cobain thing, it's like other people committed suicide as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can read this episode as like a metaphor for a real thing that happens called a suicide cluster, where the idea of suicide is brought into a community and it's almost like contagious. Mm. I mean, the first time I heard about this is when there was a suicide cluster in the Chinese factory Foxconn, where they made... I don't know if they still do it there, but it's where they made iPhones there. Mm. They at one point it was so bad. This was like the epitome of like evil corporation. Foxconn is like a city/factory where you work all day, but you also live there in a dorm.
Yeah.
And at one point the suicides were so bad, they put nets around the building to catch jumpers. So if you use Apple products, there's blood on your hands. Anyway, so this is a real thing. This really happens.
There was also a suicide cluster after the Capitol riots.
Was it really?
Among police, Capitol police.
Oh, wow.
I think two died by suicide after.
That's rough.
Because it's just wild to be doing your job and then all of like the right-wing news media calls you liars.
I know. Media is a big part of this episode, though. Because a lot of the information we're getting is coming through news reports and talk shows and
stuff. Very, very involved and dedicated news reporters who are just not going to let a moment of this girl's posthumous existence go unreported on.
I mean, it says something about the whole pop idol thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like these pop idols are singers and stars, but they're young girls and their whole thing is to be cute and adult men love them. And, you know, even in her death, the fascination is with her body is not ending because the news, the stories quickly like move away from her death and onto like these sightings, these
ghost sightings
of her,
say.
Just her head,
her floating disembodied head floating around town.
Right.
So
there's a funny piece of dialogue where like the kids are talking about it in school. Mm-hmm. And one boy goes, oh, he's like, that's so scary. That scares my balls off. Is that a weird translation thing or?
So her boyfriend was also like accosted by these male fans of hers who were like, you drove her to this. Or like, you know, accusing him of stuff. And so the girl, her friend, has been checking in on him. Like, how are you doing?
He's very depressed and he does feel a little guilty about her death.
Mm-hmm. And so he, once these rumors about like ghost sightings and there's like a grainy photo and you don't really see what's going on. They really hold back for a while, which is really amazing. she goes to talk to him about it, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Have you heard about this stuff? Like, it's wild, right? Who could say stuff like that? And he's just staring out a window despondently. Like, I fucking see it. And he goes, she visits me every night. She's outside my house every night.
I'll call you tonight.
He's like, I'll give you a call next time she's there. He says it so like snarkily too. He's like, you don't believe me. I'll give you a call next time she's there.
You're going to see this head.
So lo and behold, he calls her that night and is like, but he's more frantic than I thought he would be. He's like, come on.
He's up a tree.
Outside. Yeah. I'm at the phone booth outside the temple. She's floating over it right now. She's like, okay.
She gets there.
So she gets there. He's gone.
He's up a tree on a branch, like almost like.
But she sees the head. She follows the head. She sees this thing the size of a fucking Chinese spy balloon. Listen.
Topical.
Current events. It's like, it's truly
would not
huge.
Be if not topical.
It's the size of like a hot air balloon.
And what's funny, it's both a head and a balloon, because it's clearly a head that has some sort of weird magical powers, but you hear balloon sounds, it can deflate.
Yeah.
It's sort of both at the same time.
Yeah. And it doesn't, what's odd about hers is that it doesn't really have an expression.
Yes. Well, I have something I noticed like the third time I watched it.
Okay.
If they want to hang the person.
Yeah.
If they go without hanging you, the face gets more upset. And the
more
eyes get
agitated.
And the eyes get more red.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So I should say that the heads look beautiful. You can see that they're using some CGI with the head.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a value that is drawn, but then they use CGI to make that value move. And it works for this. And the boy is like
he's
on the tree. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I miss
he's
you.
Like, I'm sorry,
but
please
then
come to me. And
a
then
noose just lowers slowly into the frame.
You don't see where it comes from.
Yeah.
You just see this noose. And then it like actively goes around his neck. And she screams, the girl, because she's watching all of this from the ground. Yeah. And he gets hanged by this noose. And then just another big balloon shows up. And it's his face.
Head.
And then they kiss.
And they kiss.
The balloons kiss.
And I want to describe this correctly. Like, yes, the nooses are going for you. But it's not like the noose can move like Dr. Strange's cape.
They act like lassos sometimes.
But see, I don't see. I see the agency
in
the head. It doesn't
like
grab
snake,
you like a hand.
Like the balloon is
it's
moving
scooping
it.
You.
Yeah.
It's scooping you.
Yeah.
I mean.
Like a claw machine.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes down and then it just gets you.
It gets you.
And
but it gets you pretty seamlessly. It's not like they're struggling.
Yeah. I mean, what's.
And it can widen and tighten.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is it makes you think of just. There's something horrific about hanging because. The body stays upright, so it's almost like standing.
Yeah.
So it's like if you went from standing to hanging, you look almost the same, and it's so instantaneous. Mm-hmm. And you see it so many times in this episode of someone standing there, and then it comes, and then now they're lifeless.
Yes, it's the moment of being like active and dynamic and vital, and then just being out of existence in a second.
Yeah.
You're just gone.
Just gone.
Yeah.
In an instant.
Yeah. Now.
Everyone
well, no,
in the world,
you're missing the like
what
the scene of the girls because she that's my favorite part. So she's talking to her friends about what happened. And they're like, "No, you're mistaken. He was, he's missing.
Yeah,
nobody has seen him on a balloon." And she's like, "No, I know what I saw. I think I know what happened to our friend.
Yeah.
Like, I think she was caught by one of these things. She didn't kill herself. I think, this is what happened." And her friends are like, don't worry about it. So they're all walking on the street and they look up and they're like, what is that? And it's hopping up in the sky, like really high up to the point where they can't tell what it is in broad daylight.
Yeah.
These balloons start getting closer and closer and closer to them. And they're like, oh my God, it's our faces.
Yeah.
And then they just take off running. They're like, get down.
Yeah. And the balloons like go after them.
They come after them. So every person's balloon wants to kill that person.
Wants to hang that person. And,
yeah.
And they look like their face.
Uh-huh.
And at this point, the two of the four girls
get
immediately taken
right away,
just gone.
So since she and the other girl scramble down a narrow alley, because the balloons are big, and so they can't.
Is it kind of jump like scare where the balloons like, what's up?
Yes, in the crack of the alley, it's genuinely like the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Yeah.
Like you see these big balloons passing you by.
Yeah.
So the girls are screaming. The ropes are trying to like get into the alley to catch them. This dude opens the window to his house. It's on the side of the alley. He's like, what's going on? What's going on? They're like, look, look.
Yeah.
And what I love about this show is that everyone can see the horrible thing. Like that's a real trope of horror where like one person is experiencing it, but like no one else can see what's happening.
Everyone can
see this. So
this is a worldwide phenomenon that's happening.
So he sees it. He screams. He immediately pulls out a crossbow that he just had by the window, at like all Japanese households have. and so he, you know, this guy's got. I was like, I said out loud to no one. I was like, this guy's got the right idea, and he shoots one of the balloons.
Yeah.
Oh, but guess what? If you shoot a balloon, the person whose face it has also responds the same way as the balloon
does.
And
she deflates in such a gross way.
Yes, it's horrible. Her friend completely deflates. She's like, and like her face. Ugh. So you can't do that because no matter what you're getting got by these balloons.
It's so fucked up because you think it would be easy to not get hung by a balloon.
Yeah.
But they fucking get you.
They get you.
And they learn to speak. They're getting smarter.
They don't speak at first, but then they start to speak. Yeah.
Would you say it keeps coming back to what we see in the beginning of the girl in her bedroom and the knocking?
Yes.
Come on out. Come on out.
And it goes at like 4 days earlier.
Yeah.
You know, it's gradually getting closer.
So now
you got to protect your neck.
I wonder if
Wu-Tang said.
Yes. I wonder if this was written during the pandemic because then
this
they do
it. It has a real pandemic feel to it.
They do a lockdown.
Yeah, they do a
lockdown.
And
they're like, don't go outside.
They're like, if you absolutely must need. So now the news is reporting on this because there's balloons everywhere, all throughout the sky.
What an image.
It's such an incredible image. It's like that Doctor Who episode of the, like, all the blimps.
Yeah.
There's all these balloons in the sky. I of course, you know. I have to just take it to the next level. And I was like, thank God they didn't show any like babies or kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, I guess they didn't want to go that far with it.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, you know, the babies and kids are not going to be in good shape if their parents were all hanged by balloons anyway. Yeah. So the implication is that everyone's just dying.
Yeah.
Also, no one has a lot of food stored in their house. I guess we don't have like.
Well, who knows? We don't know how long this is
coupon
going on for.
Well, we do because we have the timeline.
Oh, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, you could get by. I don't know. Especially if like your whole family got killed, it's just you. How many cans are you eating?
Yeah.
Anyway,
dad goes to work. He's like, "Fuck this, I'm going to work."
I love the dad. So they just watch this.
He's like,
news
"I got
report.
A plan."
Yeah, and it almost works.
He's like, "Work's gotta happen. I gotta go to work."
So yes, he's like, "I have something." The minute they turn off the news report, which just said, "Do not leave your house unless you absolutely have to, and if so, travel by car only." Right? Like, if you're in a car,
like, who are you doing business with?
Yes, he's like, "I have to I have to get these things done."
The world is over.
This is. I just feel like this is so ludicrous that it's intentionally.
He's
making
an anti-vaxxer.
Fun of, like, the Japanese work ethic, you know?
Yeah.
So
he's like a salary man.
Yeah, he's like, "I have to get to the office," and he just like throws his hands up around his neck.
That's his
he makes an X, like,
he's like, "This is my plan."
He's like, "I'm gonna run real fast to the car."
Yeah. And it gets him, and it doesn't hang him.
They're
it
begging
crushes him.
They're like, "Dad, don't do dad." He's like, "I have to go."
Yeah.
He just runs out of the house and immediately gets caught.
Yeah, immediately. And it crushes him like a boa constrictor.
Yeah. So it kills him either way.
Right. He doesn't get hanged, but yeah, so immediately dad's dead.
Dead. So now the older brother is like, "We're going to starve to death. I got to get some food.
There.
I got to get out there."
He has a stupid plan too that involves an umbrella.
But it seems like he got away because.
For a minute, yeah.
Well, yeah. We don't see him get caught.
Yeah.
So he has an umbrella.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks about their plan for approximately 2 seconds before they enact it. They're like, "I'm just going to go do this."
My brain would not be working if this were happening. Just everything you thought about,
everything
is gone.
Well, the other thing is the news reports are so interesting because they have a bunch of deflated balloons on the floor in like a warehouse. They're like, scientists are studying. They don't know who or what did this.
I love the reporters like, "By the way, do not attack the balloons because whenever you attack the balloon, the corresponding head will also."
Oh, God. But they're like testing the material and they're like, "It's balloon material?"
It's fucked up.
But it looks like skin and also it looks like veins inside.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There are eyes and mouths. And
yeah,
stuff.
It's just insane.
I'm going to say it. It's weird.
It is weird. I'm glad you said it. So he throws an umbrella into the noose.
Yeah.
And like opens it so it can't catch
there
him.
There is a funny moment where his balloon is like, oh, like it's like is momentarily thwarted.
He's like thrown off by what he did. He's like, oh, and he gets away. They're like, he got away. He did it. And then you don't see him again. And then the mom, it's been a couple days. Mom lost it. She walks out on the lawn. She's done.
It's so fast. She just steps out and it just.
Just like, takes
it was, like, just waiting for you.
Yeah, it was just waiting. It was. It was just hanging out, waiting for her to come out.
It reminds me of It Follows. Just like, it's just there. It's waiting for you. Mm-hmm. You can stay inside if you want. Mm-hmm. But the second you go outside, it's just going to grab you and you'll be dead.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up.
So now we're at the present day with the girl. And so now she's stuck in her house. She's got no food. Everybody in her family's been taken. But this, I think she's also lost it, because why would her brother be outside the window? Why wouldn't he be down at the door?
Yeah.
And she's like, he's like, open up. Open up. It's me.
I found food.
Yeah. And so she's like, oh, okay. I'll let you in. Like, very dreamy. She opens the curtain.
It's the balloons.
And it's just, he's like in terrible shape. He's all, his body is like mangled.
Yeah.
Hanging, and the balloons are there. And that, also the balloons look crazed.
Yeah.
They look
crazier. Yeah, I think, the longer they don't hang their corresponding person, the more upset the face looks.
So they get, but you don't see her die. You just see her looking out the window, and then a noose just drops into view.
And it frames her face.
Yeah, it frames her face.
Yeah. You know,
this is my favorite one, hands down.
It's really
going
good.
Over it.
It's exceptional.
It's just so good.
It's interesting is when I watched it the second time, there was something I noticed early on before the balloons start, a news reporter talks about a bunch of her fans that all fainted and went to the hospital or something. Mm. But there's no balloons involved. It's just like something happened, some phenomena happened to a bunch of her fans.
Huh.
And it's also interesting because it starts with this pop idol.
Yeah. Yeah.
It clearly starts with her.
Yeah.
And they say that they hypothesize that the reason she was, that her balloon just got stuck on the thing. Mm-hmm. But why would, did she want to die of suit? Like, It's you can just dig into it so much.
Like, did she manifest the balloon?
Right.
And all the other balloons to punish everybody for, like, hounding her.
For constantly staring at her. Yeah. And yeah. Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
And I think tellingly, hers is the only body that is not on display afterwards, because she got buried and she was...
Yes.
She had a funeral and everybody else's body is just hanging in the air
right.
for everybody to see.
Right.
Oh, there's no one left. I mean, I assume, right? I'm sure there's some holdouts. I've seen enough
there's
zombie
babies.
Movies to know there's, like, families out there.
Yeah, there's babies.
Well, there's babies not for very long, because those babies aren't taking
once
care of themselves.
Once they start to walk, once they toddle.
I mean, that's it.
Just, what?
The implications of this are...
I know, because it's like, not only is there's no God, whatever is out there is evil and wants to torture you.
And it's coming from the sky. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's coming down from heaven, right?
Yeah.
It's not what we think.
So let's get to episode 4.
Oh,
our first...
Soichi.
The first encounter of Soichi. That piece of fucking shit.
Now, is this the one that's opens with him in the forest?
No, that's the second one.
Oh, it is?
Soichi has two stories.
Okay. Where he's like picking a bug off a tree.
Yeah, it's the second one opens that way. So this is... this. So episode 4 has two stories, 4x4 walls, mm-hmm. and the Sandman's lair.
Right. So this is 4x4.
Right. So it's his family. It's pretty normal family. Mom, dad, an older brother, older sister, and then Soichi. And Soichi has like blue sunken eyes.
Yeah.
And no one talks about it, but he's constantly chewing
his
on
nails.
His eyes
are also white, aren't they? Or they're white at times.
Yeah.
And he's chewing on nails. He's just got...
Always.
Like... not his fingernails, like nails that you hammer.
Right. And sometimes when he smiles, it looks like his teeth are nails.
Yeah, his teeth are jacked up too, though, because he's like got crooked teeth, missing
he's
teeth.
Chewing
he's
nails.
Chewing on nails all
and
day.
He's like, he's not evil. He's like the true embodiment of Loki.
He's like an imp.
Yes.
He's a pest.
He's there to bother everyone.
He's John Leguizamo's the pest.
Yes.
He's
ridiculous like a booger. He sticks to this.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
He's just like, He is there to make your life a living hell, but mostly the older brother.
Yes.
He's peevish.
He's torturing the older brother. The older brother's just trying to study and be a good student. And he's
he embodies, you know, the ideal of what a young man should be. He's a scholar. Yeah. He's in his room. He's studying. Yeah. And his brother's just making noise, like scratching. And but
then at one point he's speaking. He's like, you're going to fail your test. Yeah. Oh, your grades are going to go down. Because he talks in this very like.
Yeah.
And what's great is the parents are like, the older brother's always petitioning the mother and father to punish him or do something. And they're so like, there's nothing we can do.
You know, so
he's just fucked up. He's lost. Yeah, he's gone.
Just let him be. I love that they always repeat, because they repeat this in the second story too. They're like, if you don't fix his crooked ways, his crooked mind.
Yeah.
They call him crooked all the time, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
So the kid can't study. Yeah. Soichi's deliberately like just messing with him.
He's like, oh, the house is haunted.
And the parents won't do a thing about this. Yeah,
dad's just watching TV. Yeah. Mom is checked out.
Yeah.
But it seems like at some point they tried and they've given up.
They've given up totally.
This kid sucks.
So does he make the suggestion or do they offer a soundproofing?
No, the father makes a suggestion. Rather than dealing with Soichi,
they're like, let's just soundproof your room.
I know a carpenter friend. Who's also extremely creepy.
He's a horror show.
Yeah.
And no one, not even the older brother, makes one comment, says word one about this man's appearance.
Right.
Even though he's the most horrifying person I've ever seen.
The father's like, oh, we'll have this carpenter come in.
They're like, you said that as a friend? And the dad changes the subject right away.
Yeah.
They're like, that was a friend of yours? He's like, anyway. So
he's going to soundproof the room. Yeah. That's the solve of this problem.
Yeah.
And how do we describe him? Well, I'm going to say right off the bat, and I don't mean to be offensive, it seems like the character is in some ways trying to be a queer stereotype.
Oh, interesting.
He's very, very fey, and his voice is very, very high-pitched. And he has these long... it's hard to say. It looks like...
Oh, God. The drawing of him is way worse.
Oh, yeah. It looks like long eyelashes, but then when it closes up to him, it's
like tattoos.
It's tattoos. It's like tattoos around each eye of like, they kind of look like eyelashes. They're like these spikes.
Yeah. So he has these really, like he has this.
He's got no pupils.
Yeah. He's got white eyes. His hair is like combed down straight onto his forehead.
High cheekbones. He looks like the Joker a little bit.
Yeah, he does look the Joker. Yeah, he's got this big spooky smile. Pointy nose, and then these
birthmarks like, on his cheeks.
These birthmarks, these like red dots on his cheeks that almost make him. It almost looks like he's like a painted doll. Like he has like painted eyelashes, and then these like splotches on his cheeks that look like red doll cheeks.
Yes.
And he is a horror show.
Yeah, and he says something really interesting, where he's like, "I'm gonna soundproof it four times." And he's like, why? And he's like, four is the magic number. What does he say? The word she in Japanese means both four and death. So it'll be the death of the noise.
Death of sound, right.
Right. And as a creep, of course, Suichi's like, oh, I identify with this man.
Yeah. And the man is like delighted by him. He's like, wow, what an inquisitive young man.
He's nailing the wall. And he's like, oh, he's doing a great job nailing.
Yeah.
Like, which is not.
Yeah.
And then Suichi's like, I love nailing things.
Like, yeah.
What's so sad, though, is the mother and father are proud for a minute. They're like,
you think he's doing good? Oh, that's good.
He got a compliment. The father even says, wow, no one's ever given him a compliment before.
Your kid is the weirdest. Yeah,
maybe he'll be a carpenter.
The scariest man in the world said he liked your son. Yeah, that's not a compliment.
But look, he might be able to get a job now. He might have a future with a job.
Yeah, why doesn't he go apprentice with that guy and they can go be weird together?
He will. So the brother comes home and he goes into the room. And he opens the door and there's another door. And then he opens the door and there's another door.
And now everyone's freaking out because the mom is like, what? Yeah. They're all just like, what just happened? Yeah. And it gets smaller. And it's very Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Like it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
To the point where the kid can like barely fit in the room. But he can just get
in. It's like a
cubby
hole. It's just his desk.
Yeah.
But he's happy. He's like, all right,
he's
I can
like,
study
whatever.
In peace.
It's fine. I can study.
Yeah.
And he closes all the doors.
Right.
And I would die immediately of claustrophobia.
There's a funny thing where he's like, oh, I understand. It's like this. And then you see on the screen a dire. And it's like, just like this. Like, as if he's speaking to us.
That's funny. That's right.
Because it's a room and a room and a room and a room. And then he's.
Wait, wasn't there another diagram? Because I remember I was laughing about it.
Back. Oh, yeah. Right. He comes back and he goes like this diagram. Yeah. I forget what it was, though.
That's why it's like this. After hanging balloons, this episode is much more lighthearted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, they also say like the door behind the door behind the door behind the door. Like they keep saying behind the door over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, maybe there's another door behind the door behind the door.
Yeah. It's like you said, hidden rooms.
Yeah.
Is a thing. So he's studying, but then.
Oh, and the guy actually, I made a note. Yeah. He has similar eyes to the ice cream truck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. So so he's in there. It's like, boy, it's so quiet. Making me crazy a little bit. I gotta get out of here. So I thought he was just gonna get locked in and wasn't gonna be able to get out. But no, it's even worse than that because Soichi, the little rat boy, found a way into like in between the walls and is now has access essentially.
And he's like, ooh, I'm a cicada. Yeah. By the way, the more I watch this, the funnier it got. I was like, this actually is pretty funny.
It's just, God, this guy sucks. I was like, are there no libraries in Japan? No cafes? Any place he could leave his home to study?
it's hilarious. And see, it's funny. I don't think he found his way in. I think when he was working with the carpenter, he convinced the carpenter to put these in-between spaces in between each room. Because there's also like... There. Obstacles. There's like mud in one, and then there's one that has like nails coming out of the wall.
Yeah, I think he was just fucking around back there. Right, because there's water.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is going on in this house?
Right.
But that's the dream logic again at work. Right. Being like, none of this makes sense. Like, structurally, this doesn't make sense to be here. So the brother chases Soichi. How does he access where Soichi is? I don't remember.
I think he... Oh, I forget. He figures out that there is an in-between. Maybe he goes upwards.
Yeah.
He figures out that in between each room, there is space. And Soichi's like on top of the room. And he's like, my realistic cicada sounds are really bothering him. Cicadas are out of season now. There's actually something that happens three times in this episode where the brother's chasing Soichi and he's just going around a corner, and like when the virtual camera sees where he's going, there's like one frame of Soichi. Like it's just like you just miss him. Mm-hmm. Your eyes like, oh, there he was, but he's gone now.
Yeah.
And the brother when the brother catches him, he's like, he's screaming at him, and he's like, and then he's chasing him, and they're like going on this crazy chase in
between
all the
rooms.
There's like a
ladder behind the wall.
It looks like there's a ladder for each room to get you on top.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about earlier on when Suichi's using wires to make it look like things are floating in his brother's room. When he's like, oh, there's a poltergeist.
Haunted. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking hilarious. This kid just needs to get his ass beat. At one point, the brother jumps on him and then he pees his pants.
Yeah. I'm like, this person is really disturbed. Like, I mean, it's clear that he is, but he's fucked. He's really fucked up.
It's not until the second episode, though, that he has powers. He has like magic powers in the second story.
Oh, because of the cat. Like, he changes the cat.
He changes the cat. He also can shock you or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He has like Palpatine
powers. I felt like
that
was more like the cat doing it.
Right. Yeah, well, we'll get there.
Soichi. Oh, wait, okay. So now this was one of the ones where I thought he died at the end, but then he didn't because he was back again.
Well, it's unclear. He looks like he's in between the rooms, mm-hmm. and the older brother's like, I'll figure it out. And then you see him just like run out of air and pass out.
Yeah, like he runs out of air.
So how did the brother do that? How did the brother get the air out of where he was?
Yeah. I was just like, oh, did he die because he ran out of air? I was like, good.
You can't kill Soichi.
He's like a cockroach. You really can't get him.
You can't kill Soichi. See, I have a theory about this episode, and I don't know if you're going to get it because you don't have siblings that you grew up with.
Right.
There is an exquisite, sharp, painful injustice that you feel when your sibling's done something wrong to you and your parents won't acknowledge it.
Uh-huh.
It's the greatest injustice ever.
Yeah.
Because your sibling did something. Uh-huh. And maybe you're just reacting back to it. And you're trying to get your parent to dispense some kind of justice and they won't do it.
Uh-huh.
And the pain is so, so painful. And that's what I was getting from it.
Okay.
It's not just that Suichi is this horrible little monster piece of shit.
Right.
It's that no one's doing anything about right. it. The See, brother's losing his mind. Hands
because it's just...
Yeah, he's constantly like, why don't you do anything about it? In the second episode, he's like, he's going to be a serial killer.
Yeah, yes.
He's hurting animals.
The brother's the only one with any sense in that family. And the sister too, I guess.
Now's a good time to talk about the end credits because the end credits of every episode have Suichi in it. Yeah. He's like he's the Mickey Mouse of
the show. Yeah, like on every Junji Ito book, there's like the circle instead of the Cat in the Hat. It's Suichi with his nails in his mouth.
Yeah. It's weird. It's an alleyway. It's another alleyway. And there's like the VHS kind of filter going on.
Yeah.
In the background, you see an old man like walk by. I don't know if that means anything or however right, you want to read that.
I don't think we ever see that old man.
Yeah. But there's like in the alleyway, there's a... like refrigerator, it opens and Suichi comes out of it.
Yeah,
he's wearing a raincoat.
Yeah,
there's a house there, and like there's like a porch with a TV.
Long porch.
Yeah,
but we do see that in the second episode.
Yes,
that porch. So maybe it's his house. That's their house. Yeah,
he crawls into the TV like you do.
Right,
and then you see this is different every episode. You see images from the episode you just saw, but then you see like a family.
Watching TV.
Yeah, and then you see the family looking fucked up.
They change and their like eyes are white.
But they're not characters we ever see.
No.
So I was like...
Is that us?
Oh, that's interesting. At first I was like, is this the crew? Is this like the crew of the show? Oh,
interesting.
And then Suichi crawls out of it.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes back to the refrigerator. But then the refrigerator opens and a second Suichi's there.
Yeah, God.
And then they both just go in.
Just horrible.
Again, doppelgangers.
Yeah.
And that's the end of every episode. And then after that is always the little... monologue of that weird story.
I wonder if that's supposed to be Hell of Thorns.
Oh, it could be. Well, I'll tell you real quick what I get from it. It's written in this very obtuse way where like you really can't trust anything the narrator's saying. What I think from listening to all 12 again, like multiple times, it's a guy who's in a prison who starts, he cuts his finger to write on the wall with blood.
Okay.
And then the things he write on the wall turns into hair and it turns into bugs. Often it'll reflect something in the episode you just saw.
Uh-huh.
And then the bugs start talking to him. The walls turn into flesh. At some point, a woman comes to see him and I think he kills her.
Uh-huh.
He says he runs out of his own ink and then suddenly there's more ink. So I think he uses her blood.
Oh, okay.
And then the very last line is the first line of the first episode. So it makes a loop. Because he's like, and then he read what he wrote on the wall, and it was, and it's the first thing he says in the beginning.
Weird.
It's pretty weird. It's pretty fucking weird.
Interesting.
Huh. Okay. But it's also the act of creation.
Yeah.
It could be Hell of Thorns.
I wonder.
The scariest book ever.
Ever written. Which another character is casually reading.
When is that?
I made a note of it. It's one of the last episodes. In the alley.
Oh, okay.
The border is reading Hell of Thorns. Yeah.
So the next story is a Sandman's Lair. This is a very simple little story.
This kind of like nothing really happens narratively. It's just like
it's interesting images.
Yeah, this is really something where I'm like, oh, this is probably a very cool drawing. They really didn't have much to go on.
Yeah.
So this guy, he doesn't sleep. He has a girlfriend who's trying to help him out. And he's like, but the dream guy is trying to get out into the real world.
Yeah.
And the dream guy wants you.
Yeah. And this happens a few times in the show. He explains that he has nothing inside of him.
Mm-hmm.
His insides are empty.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want you to watch me sleep so I don't fall asleep because he's the dream he wants to come out into the world.
Yeah.
And duct tape my arms and legs together. Mm-hmm. And so the girl doesn't
help though because he kind of like turns inside out. For the dream
I think he thinks
out.
It'll stop it. Well, first she cuts them. She cuts it and she falls asleep. And then she sees like coming out
like
of his
an
mouth.
An arm coming out of his mouth. Yeah. Which is really grotesque.
And it's got like red fingertips because it's inside out.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up and he shoves it back in his mouth. And then he like pulls his arm out like the way you'd pull a sleeve out of a coat.
Yes.
And then he's like pulling his fingers back out.
Yeah. It's gross.
And he's like, yeah, it's like inside out me.
Yeah.
I have nothing inside me. And then...
Well, he says he wanted to be a bird or he was a bird.
Yeah, that's a whole weird thing. He has a dream about flying, so he wanted to fly in his dreams, but he didn't fly in his dreams.
Yeah.
But somehow still he says, like, I live in the dream world.
Yeah, ever since he lost his family. Yeah. He says, but that's not really addressed.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's pretty fucking weird. And
so his girlfriend Mari is trying to help him. It's like kind of like werewolfy. Like she's trying to stop the transformation, but it just keeps happening anyway.
Yeah.
And then so the dream guy gets her, or then she gets sucked into one of the arm sockets.
Right. She
But it does seem like it's her choice.
Well, she duct tapes her. He falls asleep again. So she duct tapes her wrists to his wrists. Mm. And I don't know if she thinks it'll help or what, but then she gets like sucked into his body.
Yeah.
And at some point she's like, all right, fine, I'll do it. You hear her say that.
Yeah.
Then it's like over, and then like cops come to his door and they're like
looking for her
because she's missing, and we don't really see him. He's in silhouette,
but he looks like an inside out person. He's like,
she's my internal organs. Yeah. She's inside me, and that's it.
And then you see the TV,
and there's a bird flying on the TV.
That's a weird one.
It is, but what's good about it is the imagery of a person turning inside out from their mouth out.
Yeah,
it's like it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And the idea of sleep will, there's an inside you trying to come out.
Yeah.
All right. So that was episode 4, Inside Out, fucking man.
I know. Sandman. It kind of ends on a note. But all right.
Yeah, all right. He's inside out now.
He's inside out.
Well, at one point, the cops are like, did you eat her?
He's like, no.
No,
she's just crazy. Inside of me.
She's my internal organs.
Of course.
Is this a metaphor for love? Is this a sick metaphor for what love is?
Oh.
You just imbibe the other person?
I don't know. And then you become a bird on the TV?
Why?
Could be.
All right. Well, this has been PCMC.
Who's to say?
I'm Mike Buongiorno. You're Janine Gagliardi. We come out every Wednesday. Tune in the next 2 Wednesdays for more of this sick shit. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.